compensating when we give you a couple minutes. Is there anyone here who is not for 105-106? Because it was not the outcome of the courthouse. Okay, good. How many people here are for 105? Yay! Okay. How many people here for 106? Okay. I'm going to pass around an enrollment sheet. Or not an enrollment sheet, an attendance sheet, I'm sorry. You get extra points for having come tonight.
Yay!
So please write legibly so that I know who you are. And put your full name and then your little email SSO, you know, when you log in, or three initials, your name and characters. If you have another email you want me to be aware of, just go ahead and add that on. What your major is, because it helps me understand where you're coming from and what your interests are. And then if you're enrolled in 105, if you're enrolled in 106, or if you're enrolled in both, just go ahead and put both. Okay? So, I'll start with you. As you may have assumed, if I haven't introduced myself yet, I am Nicole English. I am your instructor for Section 1 of 105 and Section 1 of 106. I think Mike Henry is going to be teaching a second section of 105 later in the semester, for the second 8-week session. I think I'm warm enough to take this off now. Okay, what we're going to do basically tonight, and we'll probably be done about 6:45, we're just going to take a walking tour through the website and see if you have any questions or concerns, to kind of help you get up and started. So if you haven't done it yet, go ahead and log into Blackboard. And once you get to Blackboard, go ahead and click on the link. And it looks like you're under 106. Okay. So just go ahead and click on the type webinar workshop. Yeah. Is any and then any fashion to take it? Yeah, there you go. Okay. Is there anyone else who is in 106 who's having problems seeing the website today?
I was okay. I had
to
write
it and look at the
to get it to come up.
Oh, is that right? Oh, okay. Go ahead and do that. Yeah, try to write, go back. Is a big yellow box in front of you. And since you're coming up, do you mind if he looks over your shoulder while this is coming up?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Which course are we opening, 105 or 106?
Historically, these courses were taken together as a single block. Originally, when I inherited these classes, it was required that you be in both. So that's why there's like one website. And once we had them online, then it wasn't so important that you take them both at the same time. So we're going to start out at the same place, but then we'll break into the second syllabi. Are you in?
So which one are we in? I'm in both.
You're in both. Okay. Well, tonight we will emphasize 105, and those of you who are 106, you can stick around for a few minutes after I let everybody else go, and you can go over the 106 stuff. Does that work for you? Okay. All right. So the first place see. Oh, you're still logging in?
Yeah.
A little slow, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to get too far ahead. Anyway, on this yellow box, you'll see that these are like current announcements and so forth. And if something goes wrong with the website, if it's been down or something, I'll put an announcement up. The easiest thing for me to do is just take you up to the top. I've got if you can scroll up. There you go. The first link is the home page, and this is the home page. So the first link that we're going to explore is the overview. So go ahead and click on overview. And you may have to right click to get that to open. I guess you are.
Am I not in there?
Yeah, you're in the right spot, but you're not using the home page. Sorry, I'm sorry, I'm saying 106. Web Media Workshop. Okay. And let's do something new. Usually these classes were, when they were begun, they were presented together, and you sat in the same seat, and half the time you did one class, and half the time you did the other class. Now they're kind of separated out to be separate classes. But the major difference between the classes is that 105 is basically a hands-on keyboarding, hardware, software type class. You learn about the different pieces of software, you learn about the hardware, the computer, different types of computers, that kind of thing. It's very, very left brain. The exercises for it, you have different assignments using the software tools, which makes up 10% of the final grade. Another 10% is the final project, where you take one of those tools and you do a bigger and better version of it for your final project. 80% of the final grade is in quizzes. And the good news is they're online, they're open book, open notes, and you can actually take the quizzes more than once. The reason I justify that is because, number one, they're publisher questions, so they're not easy. You may have to do some searching in the book, you know, to be able to answer those correctly. Number two, every time that you answer those questions, I figure you're learning something. So it's probably worth it. You know, you're learning something every time you take a quiz. The third reason is this is the kind of material that changes very quickly, every 6 months or a year. Much of the information is dated or updated. So it's not the kind of information that behooves you to memorize it, you know, that very valuable short-term memory. You don't really need to, you know, squander it on memorizing this kind of stuff. This is stuff that could easily be looked up in the manual. And because computer stuff does change very quickly, we might as well learn how to look up these questions now, because it's probably what you're going to end up doing the rest of your career and the rest of your academic life. So you might as well start here. Okay, so 80% of the final grade is in quizzes. The four software tools that we are learning in 105 are word processing, Excel spreadsheet, Access database, and the ever popular PowerPoint presentation software. Quite frankly, most people choose the PowerPoint presentation software as their final project. It has become so popular that I actually have specific instructions now for using it as your final project. This is the overwhelming favorite. The topic of your PowerPoint is immaterial. You're demonstrating your mastery of PowerPoint. So it can be what I did for my summer vacation. It can be your family album. It could be, our Christmas holiday. It could be work-related. It could be school-related. I don't care. What you're doing is demonstrating your mastery of PowerPoint. If you can't think of anything, you can always do something related to computers. So that's kind of like the fallback plan, the default plan. Some examples, I get a lot of my pet dog presentations, or my new baby, or my wedding. I get a lot of those. I also get some that are kind of unusual. I get a lot of school-related ones, of course. One woman was totally mystified about what to do as a topic. And I said, well, what do you like to do? She says, I like to cook. And I said, well, give me dinner. And so she gave me this great recipe. She scoped out a whole dinner, and she gave recipes on each one. So that was a good one. I like that one. And then she gave me sweet potatoes out of her garden. So I actually learned something, too. Let me see. Okay, are there any questions so far about CIT 105?
What about the quiz retaking? I was just trying it before this meeting.
Yes.
And they ask you different questions every time you take it.
That's correct.
So it's really so like retaking the same test.
Yeah, it'd be over the same material, the same chapter, but yes, the questions are drawn randomly from, a test bank. Yeah, a pool of test questions. So you can save them, too, though. So if you get a set of questions, I recommend that you, once you start those, to save it and just keep working on that same set of questions.
So what you're saying is, like, if I'm taking this test here and I know that I got the first three answers right, I save each one?
Yeah, you can save each one, or you can go down to the bottom and there's a save down there.
Save all? Uh-huh. And then that will allow me to retake the same questions and just fix the ones that I missed?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, because I figure every time you're going back to the book, that you're learning something.
Yeah.
You're creating all those little mental structures.
Excellent.
Okay. I'm not into making it hard. I'm into whatever makes it expedient for you to learn.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes. Can a PowerPoint presentation be incorporated into a website?
Yeah. Oh, if you want to do an alternative, like a website thing where you use different software tools to put a website together, I'm fine with that.
Okay. I've done that, and I was thinking for the PowerPoint, if I did something that I could put into the website, I didn't know if PowerPoint would open and present itself.
Well, you can also save it as a web page presentation.
Oh, okay.
So, if you put it together with the idea that you're eventually going to put it on the web, then your last step would be to do save as, and save it as a web page presentation, and just upload the whole share.
Oh, okay. Very good.
So, but I want the real PowerPoint.
Exactly.
You can tell me about the web page, but if you're going to do PowerPoint, just go ahead and send me that.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And we'll get into how to submit the homeworks, but for most of the little assignments, just go ahead and send those to me in email. For the PowerPoint, though, those can get very big very quickly. So I'm trying a new strategy this semester. Of doing, the little discussion board forums. I've got a discussion board forum for the PowerPoint assignment and one for the PowerPoint final project on Blackboard. So you could just upload to there, because I did have probably more information than you need, but somebody sent me a PowerPoint. It was like 30 or 40 meg, and it blew out my mailbox, which turned off my Bank of America bank alerts, which meant that when I was overdrawn, I didn't know it. So I got that turned on in a hurry. But anyway, I thought I'd try this strategy. It'll be easier on you, and it'll be easier on me. It'll be easier on you because it won't blow out your email box, and it'll be easier on me because I get all of these, and it won't blow out my email box. So we're going to try that this time. Okay, any questions so far?
Yes. I can't get on
Okay. Alrighty. Just type web media workshop.
I'll make Barbara clear, but to move on, I'm not going to move here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here.
It was working earlier, it was working when I first called it. And if they hadn't worked, it was...
I'll have to ask them. Do you see what I just did? Yeah, you can, there's a navigation bar on the left. Yeah, and you can just right-click on the menu tab, and that'll take you to some place.
Okay.
All right. There's always something going wrong. Okay. Any more questions about so far CIT 105? All right. Just very quickly, the difference between 105 and 106 is that 106 is more of a traditional reading and writing class, and it's about the issues of computers and the impact of computers on technology. So it deals with issues like privacy and security and identity theft and email and all those kinds of issues. And for that class, you write a series of small one-page reaction papers. So you take one of the issues and then you sort of explore that issue and your opinion of that issue. For example, like the privacy security. One of my suggested topics is that you sort of debate that, you know, for one page, whether you think that you favor security over privacy or privacy over security, because it's not a right or wrong position. It tends to swing depending on what's happening in times of time. Okay, so 70% of 106 is in the quizzes. And again, they're open book, open notes, and you can take the quizzes more than once, and you can save the quizzes, so there's no time. You have to leave?
No, sure.
Oh, okay. all right, so 30% is in the reaction papers, 70% is in the quizzes. As you can tell, because of the large amount of points that are coming in from the quizzes for both 105 and 106, if you do well on the quizzes, it's not so important then that you do all of the assignments or do well on all the assignments and still get a good grade. Does that make sense? If you do well on the quizzes. So I recommend that you focus on doing well on the quizzes. Okay, any other questions about anything on this page? Okay, one last thing before we move on. The software tool the suite that we'll be using is Microsoft Office Pro, and it has all four of the software tools that I mentioned to you. You can actually buy that if you don't have it. You're not required to buy it, but if you would like to have it, it is for sale at the bookstore at an educational discount, and it's a substantial discount. You can buy it for like $70, $80, and it normally retails for like $300 or $400. So it's a substantial savings. A lot of you may already have it, so on your computer, so that's great. If you don't have it and you don't want to buy it, you can always put it in school and work in the labs and use it here. If you're a person who has Works also has those same software tools, but you would need to do a save as and convert it to something that I can open. Does that make sense? Okay. All righty. Any other questions about this page? All righty. Let's move on to the calendar. And you might have to right-click and open. Yeah, there we go. I'm not sure why it's so spurious. Okay. Here you have a big old table. Each row is a week in the semester. Each column refers to assignments and quizzes so that you can kind of schedule yourself for each week. You'll notice as you scroll down that I've got those semester broken up into 2 8-week sessions. Since I'm not teaching the second 8 weeks this time, we're going to focus on the first 8 weeks.
Pardon my interruption.
Yeah.
Am I on the hook for the second 8 weeks? I mean, I'm doing the classes now. I thought that was it. That's all I had to do. I have to go 16 weeks?
No, you don't have to. You can, as I was about to say, I have a schedule up there, but I'm not married to that schedule. So if you want to do it in 2 weeks, you can do it in 2 weeks. If
this
you want
class, so CT 105 and 106?
Dash one, yeah.
Dash one?
Yeah.
I get 4 credit hours for taking these two classes, and I don't have to...
You get 4 credit hours for 105, and you get 4 credit hours for 106. Yeah, so it's 8 total.
But those next classes you're talking about are more credits for other people taking those classes?
No, for section two, it's the same class. It's just Mike Henry is teaching another section. It'd be the same class over again. For the second 8 weeks. It's just that we usually, this class fills up real quick. So we're offering another section of it for the second 8 weeks. Is that more clear?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyway, if you look at the schedule, each week is represented by a row. The light yellow colored columns refer to the 105 activities, and the bright cheery canary yellow are all the 106 activities. Basically, if you do a chapter a week, do a quiz a week, and do a homework a week, I can guarantee that you'll be through most of the material in the 8 weeks. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like I said, I'm not married to the schedule, so if you want to, especially some of the people who are on teams and travel, and they're very competitive, a lot of those folks tend to, maybe try to cram all the quizzes into like a week or two and get them all done, and some have even done it over a weekend. I would find that stressful, but if that works for you, go for it. I just want them done. So if you want to hit the, and a lot of people will take that strategy, they'll do the quizzes first and then they'll come back and do the assignments, and I'm fine with that. It depends on your personality. If you like to take it step by step and, do it incrementally, then, and you like to have a schedule, then this is one way that you can do that. For the 106 class, similarly, if you do a chapter or two a week, you do a quiz and you do a paper, that would be a way of doing it. But the same approach also works for people. If you want to get all the quizzes knocked out, get them out of the way, and then come back and do the papers, that's fine too. Okay. The other thing about, because we're in the first 8 weeks, and although I can start turning in final grades at the end of 8 weeks, I'm not obligated to turn in final grades until the end of the semester. So I normally give you the option of, if you need it, going longer than 8 weeks. Just let me know that you're going to go on a longer plan than the 8-week plan. And like I said, if you want to go shorter, you can go shorter. Hallelujah. Any questions about that?
So when it says reaction paper, this is where we can pick our own paper we want to write on, the one page?
Mm-hmm.
The topic, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for example, the first chapter is about intro to computers and the history of computers, and it discusses some of the general issues, and you could just pick any of the topics that are discussed in the chapter, anyone that sort of appeals to you. And I've got some suggestions for you if you can't think of anything. Okay, any questions about the calendar?
Yes, where it says chapter and then it's followed by a B. Mm-hmm. What does that stand for?
That's the initial deal.
Oh, okay.
And DC is discovering computers. Speaking of which, these are the textbooks. This is the textbook for 105. I've still got the 2008 because I try to stretch the books as long as possible so that you guys can get, used books. I'll probably have to change that after this year. 2010 is just a little too far to stretch one of these. This is a really good book. When I first started teaching, this same book cost $25, and I think it's up to like 90 or 100 now.
Used.
90 used? Oh, I'm astounded. Okay.
Yeah, me too.
Well, anyway, I do, when we get up to the syllabus, you'll see I also have older links. So if you're the type that likes to order secondhand off Amazon, like I do, it may take you a couple of extra days to get the book, but, you know, it's a less expensive alternative. But anyway, this is what the book looks like. And if you want to take your chances with the 2006 or the 2007 version, you might have to actually go up to the web to find some of the answers to the questions. You know, the quizzes are actually centered around this version. But it doesn't mean that you can't get one of the older versions and still make a good grade. It's just you might have to do a little more searching for some of the questions, the answers to the questions. Does that make sense? Okay. The other class, this is the book, Gift of Fire, third edition. It's got the blue bottom. And if budgetary issues are an issue, you can also use the second edition. It won't be quite as up-to-date, but it'll work for the quizzes. It'll just be a different order of the quizzes. Does that make sense? Because the chapters are in a different order than these chapters, so the quizzes will be in a different order. But other than that, I've got a rubric where you can figure it out. Having been a student so many years myself, I try to give you guys some options. All righty. One other thing on this group. You'll notice I say optional video. I do have some videos on reserve for these classes in the basement of Miller Nichols Library at the media counter. They're not required. They're completely optional. They're strictly for your own enrichment. They're not required for the quizzes. It's just that I know that if you're wanting to learn more about a topic, and some people learn more quickly from a video than they do a book, you have this option, you know, that you can go look at stuff on video. I might give you a little tip. You'll notice on the assignments, especially for the discovering computers, I say scan rather than read. This one I say read. This is a really good book, but it is very technical. And so when I say scan, I mean literally open the book to the chapter and just flip through the pages, see how the information is laid out. I think you'll actually get more good out of that than trying to read every word of every sentence of every paragraph. If you're like me, my eyes tend to glaze over pretty quickly and I start to snooze. But anyway, I find that the skimming method is really, really helpful, because then when you go to the quizzes and you have to answer a question, it's much quicker, much easier to actually find that information if you just know how the chapter is laid out. So does that make sense? Because the information is not really going to be meaningful to you until you need it. Does that make sense? Okay. Alrighty. This book, you can actually sit down and read, and it's actually kind of interesting. It's just that the print's kind of small. Alright. Any other questions about the count?
The lesson part?
That is a different approach. When I inherited this class, the way it was set up was everything was on a schedule, and it was like one huge web page. And although I thought that they had some interesting descriptions in there, I thought it sort of difficult to maneuver because people would get lost in that long page. So I made this as kind of a table of contents so that you could go into
bits and parts of it.
So that's not really relevant for the
PowerPoint? Not really. I think that the other pages are a lot more clear.
Okay.
But I have it up there because there are, I keep it up there because there are some people who like to see everything all at once and be able to print all that out all at once. And so I left it sort of in place for those people. But most people, I think, find it easier to maneuver if, you know, just going page by page. So,
did that answer the question?
Yes.
All right. Okay. So let's go to the introduction real quick. Scroll up to the top, go to the introduction. All right. I'll just go over this very quickly. This is just a little introduction to how the class came about and those of us who have worked on this class. It was originally developed by Eddie Burris in the Computer Science Department for the PACE Department. My partner and I also worked in the Computer Science Department. We developed IT222. Eddie Burris also developed CS100. My partner also worked on CS100. And due to, you know, changes in the department, budget cuts, and all that kind of thing, Eddie ended up taking over our 222 class, and we ended up taking over his classes over here. So we're all still friends. It's just we moved. The way this class was originally taught, it was taught as a block. So both classes were taught at the same time, you know, with little breaks. And for the exercises, my computer would reflect onto the wall, and we would go through the exercises in lockstep. And what I found was that that moved a little fast for some people, and it moved a little slow for other people. So then I developed the technique where I would give all the lectures and the instructions, and then we'd break, and you would only stay if you needed help, you know, in sort of a lab session. And that worked for a while, and then these classrooms, when IS took them over, we couldn't use them as classrooms anymore. We could just use them for, you know, like orientations, because they became general labs. So that's when we made the final transition to being a completely online class, which is what it is now. But I still like to kind of meet with you to kind of give you a sort of a tour and an orientation, because every course website is slightly different. So I think this kind of helps you. Our philosophy of education for pedagogy is mastery-based learning, which is basically that you work on things, you work on projects, and you keep working on them until they are quote-unquote done, or until you've learned your goals. So the way I interpret that is if you submit a homework assignment and you're not happy with your grade, if you want to rework that assignment, you know, like rewrite the paper or, you know, rework the spreadsheet or whatever it is, because I figure every time you rework it, that you're learning something. So you can rework it and then resubmit it for more points.
So the general, thank you.
You're very welcome. I figure it's about learning, not about
grading.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. Any questions about this page? Oh, I might add, too, if you scroll down to the bottom, there's some other classes. If you like our style of teaching, my partner and I have these other classes that we teach in rotation. So they're not always offered, but those are classes that we teach. Okay, so any other questions about this page? Okay. If not, then let me scroll up to the top again. And let's go ahead and go to the syllabus. And we'll look at both syllabi real quick. First, go to the 105. And there you'll see the ISBN number for the textbook. And you'll notice that I've got some of the older versions there, depending on your budget needs. And the rest of it, I think we pretty much talked about. 10% is lab exercises or assignments. 10% is the final project, and 80% is in the quizzes. So any questions about this syllabus? Okay, go ahead and put it back. 106.
There again is the ISBN number for the textbook. And again, it's broken down, 30% is in the papers, 70% is in the quizzes. Any questions about this syllabus? Okay, I hit the back arrow again. And let's go to the next one, which is the assignments. And let's click on 105. All right, this is a big old hash list of all the assignments. There are about 10 or 12 assignments. Bear in mind that this is 10% of your final grade, so each assignment works out to about 1% of your final grade. So it kind of puts it in perspective. The first thing that I would like you to do, it's kind of a sort of an optional assignment, but you get points for it, is I'd like you to email me a short bio of yourselves, kind of like a little introductory bio so that I know a little bit about you and who you are. The one thing that I miss about being in class with folks is not being able to get to know you. So this gives me a chance to kind of get to know you. And by the same token, it helps me know where you're at and what your interests are. So if you ask me a question about, like, I don't know what to write for my paper, or I don't know what to do for my PowerPoint, if I know a little bit about you, then I can help you with more constructive suggestions. For example, if I know that you're interested in being a teacher and you're interested in education, then I might recommend educational technology as a topic or something. That's just kind of an example. Okay, so your first assignment, should you accept, is to send me an introductory bio. The next thing is the first real assignment, which is the internet assignment. And why don't we go ahead and click on that real quick? Okay, this is your first real assignment. It has three parts, and it involves using a search engine. Is there anyone here who has not used a search engine? Okay, good. All right. You're going to look up three different things on the search engine. You're going to look up Grace Marie Hopper, you're going to look up Napster, and you're going to look up an airfare. For each one of these things, you're going to give me three pieces of information. You're going to copy and paste the URL, which is the HTTP address. You can just copy and paste that into a document. You're going to give me a little bit of the information that you retrieved so that I know that you got it. And you're going to tell me what search engine you use. Okay? So I've got a list of different search engines there, and I've got a list of different places where you can look at airfares. So you can copy and paste that information into a Word document and just send that off to me. Okie dokie, any questions about the internet assignment? Okay, hit the back button. And if you scroll down a little bit, we're going to look at the PowerPoint assignment, since it's so popular. let's go ahead and click on the PowerPoint assignment. PowerPoint. Got it, all right. And you'll notice that the top part refers to the PowerPoint assignment, and the lower part refers to the PowerPoint final project, should you choose to use PowerPoint as your final project. The PowerPoint assignment is about six slides approximately. You have a little title slide, and then, you know, just enough so that I know that you know how to use PowerPoint now. And then the final project, you can use the same topic if you want to build on it, but if you use the same topic, then I want 20 slides at least. If you choose to do a different topic, then you can, you know, you can do 16 and still make points. Okay, so that's the PowerPoint assignment. Any questions about the PowerPoint assignment or the PowerPoint final project? Let's go. Go ahead and back arrow, and if you scroll down all the way down, you'll see the the quiz chapters and how they line up with the quizzes, the chapters and the quizzes. For 105, it's pretty straightforward. If you use an older version of the book, it may be in a different order, and so you may have to skip around a little bit. Okay. And I think I've got a little thing there about if you use an older version, what the order would be. Okay, any questions about this page?
Is it accurate that quizzes 13 and 14 only have combined 5 questions total?
Mm-hmm.
There's 3 for 1 and 2 for the other?
Yeah.
Short day.
Yeah. Well, there are 80 questions total, and I, you know, distributed them over the 15. Okie doke. Any other questions? Yes.
So we can take all the quizzes in a row and then turn the assignments directly.
Sure. Yeah. As a matter of fact, that would probably be the most efficient way of doing it. It's in a way, it's more stressful, but you know, if you want to crank it out, that's the way to do it. Okie doke. Let's hit the back arrow. And let's look at 106 real quick. Okie doke. For that one, reaction papers, I've got some sample topics of the reaction papers. The reaction papers are one page, 300 words, or better. If it's less than 300 words, I start taking off points. So it has to be at least 300 words. I'm not looking at grammar, but you know, if I can't understand it, then that's a problem too. So please use spelling and grammar check. If for some reason you can't attach your files to the discussion board, you can send them to me in email. But I've got a form set up for the reaction papers too, so you don't have to send those to me unless you want to. I do give you the option of doing one long paper. Occasionally, people would prefer to do one long paper on a specific topic rather than, you know, the short one-page papers. And you always have that option. I just recommend that you run the topic by me first before you get too vested in it, just to make sure that we're on the same page. But occasionally, if somebody, you know, knows exactly what they want to say, then that's fine. You'll also see that for the second and third edition, I've got the way the, you know, the quizzes line up with the chapters. So if you do choose to have the older version, and you know, it'll help you find which chapter goes with which quiz. And you'll notice that the third edition isn't quite in order. There are a couple of chapters that are switched around. When I developed the quiz, what the publisher sent me was something between the second edition and the third edition. I call it the 2.5 edition. They told me it was the third edition, and so I, everything, you know, there's a paper early, you know? And then when I put it up there, you know, and they finally sent me the third edition, instead of just web documents, it didn't match. So, but once it's on Blackboard, it's real hard to change. I have to just redo the whole thing. So I thought, well, maybe it can wait until the next edition. Anyway, yes.
Are these instructions for students finishing in plates different than they are for us? As far as the pre-score button, save and submit button?
Yes, because the people who have incompletes have fallen off of Blackboard, and so they have to go take the quizzes on my website. And so the instructions will be slightly different because I don't use Blackboard on my site. But, you know, because Blackboard, you know, at the end of the semester, they dump you. You can't get back there. So if something comes up and you don't think you can finish in the semester, let me know. We'll try to work something out. The only thing about an incomplete is if you're on financial aid or if you're on scholarship, then you need to get it done during the intersession, you know, before the next semester. So it can buy us a little bit of time, but for those of you on financial aid, or those of us on financial aid. It doesn't buy a lot of time, just a few weeks. Okay, anything else on this page? Okay, moving on then, let's go up to the top and let's go to email homework. Now, as I said, this is sort of an experiment this semester, so you might give me some feedback at the end of the semester. But for 105, because the assignments are identical, I just assume that you just go ahead and send them to me. But for the PowerPoint assignments and the PowerPoint final projects, if you could upload those to the discussion area, that would be a blessing for me, because it won't blow out my email box and I won't be overdrawn at the bank. For the 106 class, I've got a discussion board up there, and so you can also attach your reaction papers there. If something goes wrong with the discussion board, or if you're doing an incomplete, you can always just send those to me in email. If you're going to send me the homework via email, I've got a protocol, a little set of instructions here. Please, 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 when you send me email, please put CIT 105 or CIT 106 in case you need, in the subject line, because I do get about a couple hundred emails a day. So if you don't have something that identifies you somehow as a student in the subject line, it's very easy for you to get lost in my email box. The second thing is if you can put the abbreviation, whether it's a Q for question or RP for reaction paper, SS for spreadsheet or whatever, that's just gravy for me. The important thing is that 105, 106, I know that it's from a student and it's not somebody trying to sell me something. All right. The second thing is please, please, please include your full name into the body of the email. I always tell the story about the person who had a Hotmail account. This Red Baron or something in Hotmail sent me all the assignments through the semester and made perfect on the assignments, but I had no clue who the guy was. And every time I tried to send email back, his email box was full and it would bounce. So it wasn't until the end of the semester he says, hey, how come I don't have any grades? And I said, I don't know who the heck you are. So we got it straightened out. He made an A, but I had to find out who he was first. Anyway, that's my little humorous story. So please, please, please include your full name when you send me your assignments. Now, is there anyone here who does not know how to do email? Okay, good. Is there anyone here who does not know how to do an attachment with the attachment button to email? Okay, good. The discussion board is the same way. There's a little attachment button. All right. I need the entire file in order to grade you. So, like the spreadsheet, if you don't send me the entire file, I can't see the equations. I can't grade you. So, if you've got the image of a perfect spreadsheet, I don't know what's behind the spreadsheet. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. I try to answer questions. If you've got a queue, I try to answer those within 24 to 48 hours. If you send me an assignment, it's got an attachment, I tend to pop that into a folder, and I try to, I grade those all at once. So I try to get those done every week.
Organizational meeting for the...
Yeah. Mike's, are you here for Mike's at 7?
Right.
Yeah, just come on in. Okay. We're finishing up.
Okay.
All right. So I try to get grading done every week. So occasionally I fall behind that if some emergency comes up. If you have any doubts, whether something's been graded or if I've seen it or if it's gotten lost in the ether somewhere, feel free to send me an email and ask about it or just resend it to me. I'd rather have two copies of it than not have it. I have been known to miss one. Okay. Except for the bio and maybe your final project, I probably won't respond to each and every assignment that you send me. If you want to know that I got it, there is what they call a return receipt option. It's under options on your email. And there's an option for, that sends you an email when I get the email. And there's another option where it will send you email when I open the email. You can choose either one or both. It's up to you. But that way you know that I got your email without me having to email each and every person each time. Okay, let's see what I covered. I always recommend that any email that you send me, that you CC a copy to yourself. In other words, in that little CC carbon copy slot, put your own email. And if you want to put another one, just put a semicolon or add another email if you want two copies. To another email address. The reason being that if anything goes wrong, if it's already in your mailbox, it's much easier to fire that sucker off. There is a sent to flow folder that you can use, but not everybody knows who that is. So the safest thing is just to go ahead and see things. All right. Any questions about email and homework? All right. Last thing. For those of you who can get back to the Blackboard site, under course content, you will find the quizzes. And if you choose to look at one of the quizzes, you can just hit the back arrow. If you're not going to start it, just hit the back arrow. But that way you can at least kind of get an idea of what the quizzes look like. But the quizzes are located under course content. If you want to check your grades, there's a link that says, My Grades. So you can always keep track of your quiz grades. If for some reason the quiz grade isn't showing up, shoot me an email. Occasionally there's a phantom process that hangs out there, that keeps the grade from showing, and I can clear that for you so the grade shows up. If you have any problems with quizzes, just shoot me an email. I can probably help you with that. Okay. Any questions about CIT 105, CIT 106? Not yet. Well, just drop me an email if there is. Well, I think we're done. So go forth. Have fun. Enjoy the course.